Welcome back to this class on spiritual warfare. And we have been looking at a variety of things engaging spiritual warfare. How do we engage the spirits in the world, the evil spirits? And just to recap from the last session, because that's a vitally, vitally important point, and that is we are not fighting for victory, but we are fighting from victory. I want you to think about that. There's a relatively new song out, and it just gives that sense of we're fighting not for victory, but we're fighting from the victory that was won on the cross. So take a listen in as you begin this time, and it's going to be rather devotional today.
But I know what
Thank you for indulging my love of music, and how it fits. It just fits. Some of the new music that's coming out these days is just marvelous. Now, I have to tell you that the last several sessions that I've done recording, and it's been a couple of weeks since I've sat in the studio here, and you'll notice that this is off field now, but there have been challenges. As I said in the beginning, there have been challenges with doing this class, and that things happen, things all kinds of happen. Well, the last time I recorded, in 3 out of 6 sessions, the power went off here in the studio. Now, as you watch these, those glitches may be there. But so I just want to spend a moment just making sure that we are free of the influence of the enemy in here right now. And so any demons that have been deployed in this place for this time, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. I command you to go to him that he might deal with you as he sees fit. Okay. Now, with that out of the way, let's go, and we're going to turn the tables just a little bit now. We've been looking at the enemy, and we've been looking at his strength, and we've been looking at his tactics, and we've been looking at the strategies, and we've been looking at all those things, as well as the extent of his power. This could be a little scary, couldn't it? So now we're going to turn, and we're going to start talking about the weapons that we have to do battle with. And we're going to begin with defensive weapons. This is how it looks in Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to spend some time here because this is a very important passage for us. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and he says this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Now, is that an intimidating description of the enemy we're up against? Wow, rulers, authorities, powers, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Wow. "Therefore," Paul says, "put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, all those things, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should." Now, we're going to spend time over the next several sessions taking this apart and looking at each piece of defensive weaponry, first of all, that we have things that we can do that will allow us to be defensive in the sense of the enemy attacking, and we've got means of defense. Now, of course, Paul is talking about the armor of God, and he is the Roman soldier in mind here. Now, don't pay much attention to that that picture there, because we're going to see that it's maybe a little less than accurate. But you know, there's the list of the defensive weapons we have. Not the sword of the Spirit, that's offensive. A helmet of salvation, shield of faith, boots of peace, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth. Those things can put us in a posture where the enemy cannot win in his attack against us. Now, Paul had in mind here something he was very familiar with. Everybody in that part of the world was at that time, because Rome had extended its influence through its incredible army. Now, for the first several centuries in the history of Rome, they had no standing army. It was only until, you know, about 500 years into the Roman Empire that they developed a standing army. But it was an incredible army, and it controlled the world, that part of the world, that civilized world, for almost 2,000 years, a little over 2,000 years. There's been nothing like it in history since. And so this army was well equipped. Paul is looking at that metaphor of the Christian putting on armor, being ready for battle, and he takes each piece. Now, when you think about the Roman army, and you know, here's a reenactment of what it might have looked like with the horses on one side, but the people marching along, in step, lockstep along, marching to the battle. What made that army so successful? Well, now people I have listened to and read suggest these things. First of all, they made a long-term commitment. You know, in my country, if you sign up for the army, you sign up for a 4-year stint. They signed up for 25 years, and they couldn't get out. You know, it wasn't something you say, well, I'm really tired of this now. I've done my time. I'm out of here. 25 years. They were disciplined. They were well organized and therefore flexible. They had a structure of command that was followed, and soldiers were expected to obey immediately. And because they were so well organized, it gave them flexibility that, you know, an officer could make changes on the fly. And that's so important in battle. You know, I'm a football fan, so when I watch professional football, they say, you know, the quarterback has the ability to make his own calls because he sees a defense and he can change it. And the team knows the play so well that all he's going to do is call out some numbers and they're going. Training was very important. They didn't just do this once a week. They did it many times a week. They developed new weapons. They were in a constant state of readiness. And there was teamwork, especially in this formation. This is called the Testudo formation, where they could march straight to the enemy, and the enemy couldn't get through. You shoot arrows at them, you attack, they're protected on the top, in the front. And that required discipline, teamwork, that they had to walk exactly together, that they had to be ready, because you depended on the people behind you, and you depended on the people to the side of you, and you depended on the people who were holding their shields above. And so it was vitally important to be disciplined and to be in teamwork. Now, you know, in the church, this is what we're supposed to be, right? We're in this battle, and we're supposed to be depending on each other to do it. We're supposed to be disciplined. We're in for the long term, lifelong, and eternal commitment. We are people who are supposed to be experiencing training for our battle. It's one of the reasons this organization exists, the Christian Leaders Institute, because we want to be able to train people for ministry. Is that the church that you know? Many years ago, in fact, it was 1864, this song came out. It's written in 1864 as a song. It was a marching song for kids to go into a children's ministry, but you maybe know it. It's an old hymn. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe, forward into battle. See his banners go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. And then the next stanza. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Christians, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided. All one body, we one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Crowns and thrones have perished, kingdoms rise and wane, but the church of Jesus constant will remain. Gates of hell can never against that church prevail. We have Christ's own promise that can never fail. Onward, Christian soldiers. Onward, then, ye people, join our happy throng. Blend with ours your voices in the triumph song. Glory, praise, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages, men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Now, you have to know that that's been a controversial hymn. In fact, the last time the United Methodists were revising their hymnal, the hymnal committee threw it out for that, you know, that polemic army kind of metaphor, and you know, that we're always fighting. But it was interesting that they received over 11,000 letters as a result of their decision, and they had put it back in as a result. But, you know, my question is this your church? Marching as to war? With the cross of Jesus going on before? It's not in the U.S. right now. In the U.S., you know, when we do the census every 10 years, the question is asked, what religion are you? And in the last one, 30% say, well, none. We don't have any religion. And, you know, of those, 7% are atheists, 7% are agnostic, with 16% nothing in particular. That is a huge growth in the last 10 years. Huge from 2010 to 2020 census. What happened to the church? And in that time, the church has declined. Evangelism statistics in my country are plummeting. What happened? One man wrote a parody of Onward Christian Soldiers. It goes like this. Backward Christian soldiers fleeing from the fight with the cross of Jesus nearly out of sight. Christ, our rightful master, stands against the foe. Onward into battle. We seem afraid to go. Backward Christian soldiers fleeing from the fight with the cross of Jesus nearly out of sight. Like a mighty tortoise moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where we've often trod. We are much divided, many bodies we, having different doctrines, but not much charity. Wow. Sit here then, ye people, join our sleeping throng, blend with ours your voices in a feeble song. Blessings, ease, and comfort ask from Christ the King, but with our modern thinking we won't do a thing. Is that your church? Is that your church? We are called to be at war. And I pray daily for the Church of Jesus Christ in my country and around the world, because sometimes I think we've lost the mission. We're caught up in my country and, you know, political influence and trying to decide who's in the church and who's out, and we've lost the idea that we're on a mission together. So having said that, in the next session we're going to start turning to these pieces of armor that can make us effective in our battle. And I invite you to join me then.